This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue our shield series and we are up to the 15th dhikr. And this is narrated by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qala idha asbaha wa idha amsa, hasbi Allah, la ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim." Whoever says this seven times, sab'a marrat, kafahu Allah ma ahammahu, صَادِقًا كَانَ بِهَا أَوْ كَاذِبًا. We're going to elaborate on this narration, especially the end part of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites seven times in the morning and again seven times in the evening, حَسْبِيَ Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, there is no Lord but Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتَ, I have placed my trust in Him alone. هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, and He is the Lord of the mighty, magnificent throne. Then the promise is that Allah Azza wa Jal will suffice him in everything that concerns him of matters in this life and matters in the afterlife. The original narration that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood mentions صَادِقًا كَانَ بِهَا أَوْ كَاذِبًا, whether a person said it honestly or he said it with dishonesty. That's what the original narration says. That whether you say these words with honesty or you say them and you're dishonest, Allah Azza wa Jal will suffice you and He will be enough for you from all your worldly concerns and your concerns of the afterlife. So many of the ulama said this kathiban, being dishonest, is a fabricated addition, and that it opposes the teachings of al-Islam. How can someone say words and he disbelieves in them, or he's dishonest while saying hasbi Allah and the rest of that dhikr? So as a result, many said that this is a fabricated addition to the original hadith. And others said that it is a correct addition. And their explanation of this word would be that if you said this dhikr with honesty, meaning with a present heart, your heart was present as you were saying it. You were not distracted by worldly matters. That's how you develop a present heart, that you're not distracted by worldly matters and also by understanding what you're saying. If you're distracted by something around you, or you're saying the dhikr and you have no clue what it means, your heart is distracted. So the hadith says, صَادِقًا كَانَ بِهَا, that you are honest while saying this hadith, meaning while you're saying this dhikr, meaning your heart is present, so you're not distracted by worldly distractions, and at the same time you're understanding that which you are saying. أو كاذبا, or he was dishonest. According to this opinion, dishonest would mean that your heart wasn't present, it was distracted. And so in that case, we're going to say, okay, that's correct, no problems. If you say this dhikr, whether your heart is present or not, that's the opinion, then Allah Azza wa Jal will be enough, will suffice this person for everything in this worldly life that concerns him and every concern of the afterlife. And some said that this entire addition is a weak addition. So no matter what the case is, we have to bring this to your attention, because you might come across this in apps and so on and you will not understand what does dishonest mean. So this is what it is. Dishonest meaning the heart is not present with this dhikr. And this was of course narrated and Ibn Sunni in his book Amal al-Yawmi wal-Layla and Abu Dawood as well. And it was authenticated by Imam al-Mundhiri, Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah, and many others. So it's an authentic one. We begin with this dhikr. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ قَالَ إِذَا أَصْبَحَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَى. anyone who says, إِذَا أَصْبَح, when he enters the morning. And we've said that أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاح, the morning begins straight after Al-Fajr and it ends at sunrise. That's the recommended time. If you miss saying the morning Adhkar during this time, then there is an extended time until Salat al-Dhuhr. And whoever says in the evening, and the evening begins at Salat al-Asr, better after Salat al-Asr. And it goes all the way until Al-Maghrib. That's the recommended preferred time for Adhkar al-Asr. You can say it earlier. The earlier you say it, the more protection. The more you delay it, the less protection. And if you miss it during this time, there is an extended time until the end of the first third of the night. Said afterwards, the adhkar are not to be mentioned. That's not their time anymore. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, anyone who says in the morning, ideally straight after Fajr, and says in the evening, ideally straight after Al-Asr, he says this dhikr, and he says it seven times. This is one of the adhkar that is repeated seven times. This is the first time we get to this number. We've shared before adhkar that are said once, adhkar that are said three times, adhkar that are said four times. This one now is seven times. And there are others that are going to come with us 100 times. There are narrations as well of 200 times. We'll get to those later. But this one's a seven. Seven times in the morning, and again, seven times in the evening. So the repetition has a purpose. The repetition is not yani without purpose and without benefit. And every time you repeat something, logically, it forces you to comprehend and understand what you're repeating. If you had a newspaper and you read it once, and I saw you focused on it and reading that paragraph again and again, and you read it a third time, I can only make one thing. And that is that he's repeating to try to understand. Right? Repetition is only done to understand. You see the young boys in their classrooms having their books, they read the paragraph again and again, the sentence again and again, just to understand what they are saying. Repetition means a person is trying to understand. And it is very sad and unfortunate that this attitude, it hardly exists in the life of people when they read something from the Quran or Sunnah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we read the Qur'an and we repeat the Qur'an, of course, Allah Azza wa Jal grants us reward, and this is what we seek and we expect from Allah Azza wa Jal, reward. Every letter is 10 hasanat. So I'll read Alif Lam Mim 100 times, and there is great benefit for me. Every time I read, there is hasanat. But that's not the reason for why the Qur'an was revealed. The Qur'an was ultimately revealed to understand what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying. And this idea of repeating the Qur'an and reading it again and again, that Allah Azza wa Jal loves Al-Halul Murtahil, the one who reads the Qur'an over and he finishes and he reads it again and continues to read again and again. The greatest purpose of this was not to collect hasanat, even if you did not know the reward. Let's say you read and you didn't know that every letter is 10 hasanat. You still earn the reward. It's not a condition to know what the reward is to get the reward. So even if you didn't know the reward, the greater and the ultimate purpose, the grand purpose of reading the secret text of our deen from Islam, from Al-Qur'an and Sunnah, is to understand. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that they may ponder and reflect and understand and comprehend and implement its ayat. So when we're repeating this dhikr seven times, it's been repeated more than others, that means there's something important here that you cannot as a believer skip. This is one of the most important adhkar that we are explaining so far. What proves this point? Because it's repeated seven times. The others once, three, four. The more it's repeated, the more importance there is. The more Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to repeat, stop, repeat, stop, repeat, because there's something in there, don't miss it. So all up, day and night, we're reading this 14 times. In 2 days, that's 28 times. In a month, how many times have you said, Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that if you were to say it Allah Azza wa Jal will suffice you. He will be enough for you from everything that concerns you here in this dunya, of any matter, and everything that concerns you in the afterlife. So if there are still problems that are bothering you and standing as obstacles between you and your faith and your relationship with Allah, something's going wrong. Perhaps it is the understanding of this dhikr that you haven't grasped yet, because if you don't understand, how can you implement? So this is why we bring your attention to this seven times, teaching us it is something important here that every believer should carry in his heart and apply and implement during his day and night after he says it. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this dhikr is actually a part of the Quran. Word for word, a part of the Quran. And it comes from the last ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Surah At-Tawbah ends here. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in context, he's saying, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, if these disbelievers turn away, meaning if they reject your message, and they don't implement it, and they don't surrender to the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal, if they decide to turn away with arrogance, then say to them in response, say to this enemy of yours in response, Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arsh al-azim. In context, essentially this dhikr is to be said to an enemy of yours, to a person that walks with arrogance and has rejected the truth that came from Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the words that you will see. Hasbi Allah, meaning Allah is enough for me. We're going to explain this. La ilaha illa hu. Tell them in their face. Tell them the truth and don't be shy and hide it. Tell them La ilaha illa hu. There is no Lord worthy of worship except Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتْ. Whether you like it or not, I will be relying on Him alone for everything in life. See, the disbeliever, the enemy, wants you to be attached to Him and to rely upon Him for all your needs, for your water, for your electricity, for your gas, for your success in this life, for you just moving around on earth. He wants you to rely on Him. But tell your enemy, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتْ, I rely upon Him alone and no one else. Why do you rely upon Him? Tell Him as well, وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, He is the Lord of the mighty throne. If He owns the biggest of all creation, which is al-arsh, meaning He owns everything else that is way smaller than it, that's why I rely upon Him. He possesses all things. So in context, that's how it comes. These are powerful words, empowering words for the believer and his faith to stand strong on earth while facing its corruption and its injustice and its oppression. This dhikr, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's made up of four parts, and each part is connected to the other. And of course, saying it seven times will absolutely strengthen your certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. And understanding its meaning will inject the heart and the soul with an abundance of tranquility. So that no matter how huge the trials of life would be that you will face, Allah will give you enough power to manage them until the day you meet Him. Hasbi Allah, that's the first part. Hasbi Allah. Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say, Aykafinillah. Allah is sufficient for me. Allah is enough for me. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this attribute and this name of His many, many times in the Quran, that He is Al-Kafi Al-Hasib. He mentioned that He is sufficient for all His slaves. He said, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abdahu? أليس الله بكاف عباده. In another qira, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that from His attributes is that He is sufficient for all the believers especially. He said, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ كَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. This is in the context of the Battle of Al-Khandaq. After 10,000 of the disbelievers had come to Al-Madinah wanting to attack the Muslims, no war happened, and after about a month, Allah Azza wa Jal sent a wind on the disbelievers. And now Allah Azza wa Jal describes their state. He said, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal drove and He sent back the disbelievers along with their rage. They came frustrated against the believers. They went back with their rage. It wasn't able to be manifested and executed. Their rage wasn't able to be executed upon the believers. Allah sent them and their rage back. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. They didn't benefit anything good. Nothing at all. This is a scenario that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala is repeated even in this day and age. All along as we speak in our brothers and sisters under the shelling, bi-idhnillah, this would be a reality. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ. They came, they suffered immense losses, and then they will be returned alongside their rage. لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. They haven't benefited anything. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. In the Battle of Al-Khandaq, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, He spared the believers the fighting. So they did not fight anything. No one was injured, no one was killed, no one was harmed, nothing happened to them. Why? Why? Because Allah is Al-Kafi. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is strong and mighty. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, when comforting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from those who mocked him and those who continuously mock him personally and his sunnah, Allah Azza wa Jalla said in response to them, إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Once again, the name of Allah, Al-Kafi, Al-Hasib. This is all in the meaning of حَسْبِي Allah. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ, meaning indeed we are sufficient for you against the mockers. Meaning we will protect you and safeguard you from them. What does his name Al-Hasib, Al-Kafi mean? And what does it entail? When I say Hasbi Allah early in the morning, and I'm repeating it 7 times, just before I walk out of the masjid and face this worldly life with its calamities. Or if a sick person is praying at home, or the sister, the mother is praying at home, all the children praying at home before they go to school and they sing Hasbi Allah 7 times. Yes, of course, because you need to include your children and teach them these adhkar, so that you empower them and equip them with this type of knowledge and faith before they come out to the outside world. What does it entail? What's Hasbi Allah? In the Arabic language, when I say Kafaka fulanun fi hadha al-amr, or I say Hasbuka fulan, what that actually means is that I say to you, this person can complete an entire task on your behalf. Hasbuka fulan, meaning this person will be enough to complete this task of yours. Let's say you have some marketing work to do. So you came to me and you asked me, can you recommend someone that can do marketing for me? So I said, hasbuka fulan. Meaning this person is enough for you. He'll do all your marketing A to Z. That's what hasbuka means. But what does it mean what does it mean concerning our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal? When we don't now say hasbuka this person and that person, when we say hasbi Allah, what does it mean? When we say hasbunallah, hasbi Allah, that means He is more than enough for me in all my needs, whether it is provisional needs, my sustenance, my protection, my victory, my honor, and every aspect of life that you can think about. And this is exclusive and only to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, I might say that this fulan hasbuka in this matter. This person is enough for you when it comes to your marketing. But who on earth, one person on earth that could be enough for you in all aspects of life? Impossible. When to you yourself cannot be enough for your own self. If you try to rely upon yourself, you fail and you fail miserably. See? So imagine Allah Azza wa Jal, not only He is your hasbuk, not only He's sufficient for you and enough for you in all aspects of life, whether they're financially related or spiritually related or relationships or whatever it is in life, imagine then He is that for everyone. Allahu Akbar. Already now, there's a sense of greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal developing in the heart when you say, Hasbi Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, ma'ad Allah, is not distracted. So Allah Azza wa Jal is not enough for one person, as a result He becomes distracted from others. No. Allah Azza wa Jal, all of us are like one soul to Allah Azza wa Jal. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, all of you, all your creation, when He first created us all, and when He resurrects us all, it's going to be just like one nafs, just like one body. Hasbi Allah. He will now look after all my affairs. Enough is Him. And for each and every single one of us. So don't you dare allow doubt to creep into your heart to say, how can Allah Azza wa Jal be enough for me when there are billions on earth, and then creatures, and then insects, and then fish in the ocean, and birds in the sky? Don't have this doubt. All of us are like one in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is Hasbi Allah. He gives His creation what they need of provision. And He is the one who grants them protection from all evil and what they dislike. And He is the one who grants them victory and honor. And He is the one who turns away harm of the enemy from them. That's all in the meaning, Hasbi Allah. And so, no matter how much effort you put into being sufficient for someone else, you will never be able to achieve what Allah Azza wa Jal does for one person. There is only so much you can do for people, even if it's your own family members. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He said, and this is the proof of all of this, He said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ And in the other qira'ah, He said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عِبَادَهُ There are two recitations. One suggests the singular, the other the plural. Meaning, isn't Allah sufficient for His slave, singular? The other qira'ah, isn't Allah sufficient and enough for His slaves, plural? Obviously, the singular is different to the plural. So from this ayah, we're learning something. That the sufficiency of Allah Azza wa Jal for mankind is of levels. Levels. There is kifaya amma. There is a general sufficiency for all mankind in the sense that He provides for us all, believer and disbeliever. He protects us all according to whatever He has decreed for every individual. That's when we recite the plural. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عِبَادَةً Isn't Allah sufficient and enough for all His slaves? Yes, of course. And that is the general sufficiency for everyone according to what Allah has decreed for everyone. Then there is kifaya khassa. There is a specific sufficiency. And that is exclusive and it's only for the believers. No one else enjoys this type of sufficiency but the believer. Then there is kifaya akhas. There is a more special, specific sufficiency. And that is for the prophets and the messengers. And then there is an additional, an even more specific, special sufficiency. And that is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's how we understand the singular. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ Isn't Allah enough for His slave? When you read it in the singular, the slave here is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some ulama said, and his followers. And his followers. But primarily, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the protection and the provision, the victory, the guidance from Allah to His slaves is of levels. He gives whoever He wants, whatever He decrees. And He withholds whatever He decrees as well. And if Allah Azza wa Jal was to withhold something of victory, of protection, of provision from someone, no one will be able to benefit you and to provide you with it. Why? Because Allah is Al-Kafi. So anything of harm and evil that afflicts you and you want it removed, be careful that you do not turn to anyone but Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because He's Al-Kafi. And you're remembering this every morning when you say, Hasbi Allah. Hasbi Allah, He's sufficient for me. Ponder over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal when He says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. حَسْبُهُ, He's same from Hasbi Allah. Whoever relies upon Allah, Allah will be sufficient and enough for him. The more reliance upon Allah, the more you get of Allah's sufficiency for you. Remember how we said Allah's sufficiency is of levels? How do you climb up the ladder and get more and more of what Allah Azza wa Jal gives His ibad? How do you climb up that ladder? وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The stronger that tawakkul becomes, the stronger that reliance becomes. And this عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ is going to come up later at the end of this dhikr. We'll explain and tie it all together. But the more tawakkul, and I'll explain to you how tawakkul is achieved, but the more tawakkul, the result is, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough for him. You need to say there's something incredible. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, for every deed Allah told us about, He promised a certain reward. Yani, read a letter from the Quran, 10 hasanat. Pray 5 prayers of the day and you earn the reward of 50 prayers. Right? Make wudu and sins are removed and so on. He said, except at-tawakkul ala Allah, reliance upon Allah. Its reward was not stated specific. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal said, Allah would be enough for him. Allah would be enough for him. Subhanallah. So when the slave relies upon Allah, then even if the entire inhabitants of the heavens and the earth were to plan against him, Allah will no doubt make a way for him. Allah will be enough for him. فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, teaching us not to rush the relief of Allah. He said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So some people get confused and say, I implemented the tawakkul of Allah exactly how it is required from me. Where's this فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ? I didn't see the sufficiency of Allah in my life. I did not see the victory, the honor. I did not see the provision. I didn't see anything. We say, brother, sister, you're rushing. In that same ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. Allah says, Allah will fulfill His command. He'll fulfill His decree. He will fulfill what He has promised you. Then He says, قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah has already set a precise measure for everything. So don't say, I did tawakkul ala Allah and I made this dua and I relied and entrusted all my matters to Him and nothing happened. Wait! جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah has precisely calculated and measured everything. Everything and relief will come at its time. Not before, not later. The fault is from us when we rush, not from Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who already told us that there is a set appointed time for everything. Now, this set appointed time might be your day on the day of judgment, when you finally earn that justice and you earn that elevation and that honor among all of mankind. Could be in this life. Wallahu a'lam where it is. But the faith of the believer is what keeps him going every day and every night. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. You know, in another qira'ah that is stronger than that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغٌ أَمْرَهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal's command is going to be fulfilled no matter what. Just you, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Achieve that, perfect it, master it in your life. فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal's sufficiency is coming to you. Whether here or there, don't worry about it. And if we are certain of this fact, that Allah is حَسْبُنَا, if we are certain of the fact that Allah is enough and sufficient for us in all our worldly matters and our afterlife matters, then this has several positive effects on the believer. When you say Hasbi Allah in the morning, the effect it should have on the heart, number one, the heart will become attached to Allah Azza wa Jal, loving Him and being pleased with Him. That's the first thing that happens. I give you how, logically. You know, a human being, naturally, he loves and he's attached to the one who looks after him. So if you look at the situation of a baby that cannot support himself, look how attached he is to his parents and the love he has for his parents. Why? Because that baby, that child realizes that he cannot take care of his own needs without his parents or his guardians if the parents are not in the picture. Even elderly people, when they are in need of others to take care of them, they develop a strong love and attachment to them because they're taking care of them. And sometimes you might see that a person develops a stronger attachment and love to someone who is foreign and strange to him, and he loves him more than he would love his own relatives. Why? Because this stranger is looking after this person. He's taking care of his needs. He's always there with him day and night. So naturally, he will develop a stronger love to him as opposed to his own family members. And the logic, this is how we observe in human behavior and human nature. Right? Like a sick person that's been abandoned by his family. And some strange nurse in the hospital looks after him. Wallah! He'll love him and attach himself to him more than his own family members. So if the heart is certain that Allah is Al-Hasib Al-Kafi, that Allah is the one who is enough for me, and He is sufficient for me, and He looks after all my needs, what's the natural consequence? What's the positive effect? Nothing but the heart attaching to Allah Azza wa Jal and developing immense, strong love to Allah Azza wa Jal and being pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal. Despite the calamity that is in your life, despite what is going wrong in your life. Subhanallah. So I just give you a silly example on the side. You know, you're at your parents' house, you've always been there, they've always looked after you. But if you get sick, are you angry with your parents? No. You accept your sickness and you know that your parents are still there tending to you and caring and loving you and so on. Of course, lillah, al-mathalu al-a'la, to Allah belongs the highest of example. But when a person is afflicted with a calamity in his health, in his wealth, in his relationships and so on, the foolish one is the one who blames Allah and takes it out at Allah and becomes angry with Allah and displeased with Allah Azza wa Jal. Such a person did not understand hasbi Allah. He failed. He failed miserably. Hasbi Allah. So you see, how can the believer say hasbi Allah 7 times in the morning, and the moment he's struck with a calamity during that day, he releases his frustration complaining about Allah. And why me? And why him? And why did you do this? And why did you decree that? You see why it's important to understand the adhkar? So that your words during the day don't contradict what you said in the morning of hasbi Allah. Otherwise, you just become a walking contradiction. And this is why you be careful. This is a complete package. These adhkar are not only shaping your tongue, but it's shaping your limb and it's shaping your behavior and your manners towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's the most important relationship you have on earth. Hasbi Allah. Naam. So the heart is certain that Allah is Al-Hasib, then it's going to develop this strong attachment and love to Allah Azza wa Jal. The second positive effect, acknowledging hasbi Allah, that Allah is enough for me, is that you will only rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal and no one else. Imagine when you're certain that Allah, He Himself is only enough for you, it is going to drive you blindly to only rely on Allah and no one else. And that's exactly what we want. Remember, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So when the question arises, when you ask, how do I increase my tawakkul upon Allah? I say, be certain that He is enough for you. Strengthen that type of knowledge that Allah is enough for you. Look into your life and what Allah Azza wa Jal has facilitated you with and provided you with. And the more you look and you observe these ni'am that are in your life and this goodness in your life, the stronger and stronger your hasbi Allah is becoming. And if this hasbi Allah is coming stronger and stronger, it's going to push you to only rely on Him and no one else. That's how you strengthen the tawakkul ala Allah. And at that moment, when you begin to rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal, you will then only call unto Him and no one else. And Allah Azza wa Jal will answer, because your heart will be present during that dua. When you know hasbi Allah and you're certain of it, your heart now, when you make a dua, it's present. And that is one of the greatest etiquette of dua, that the heart is present and not distracted. Many of our dua, we haven't seen its effect in our life yet, because it comes out from a heedless heart. And if there is a chance for our heart to be present, maybe it'll be in the last 10 nights of Ramadan somewhere in the witr. And then afterwards, it's gone. Because we don't understand. We don't know what we're saying. And so we suffer. Very important to understand. When that hasbi Allah is strong, at-tawakkul becomes strong, at-du'a becomes strong, the heart is present whether you like it or not. It'll be there. Subhanallah. And just like life and death is in the hands of Allah, and we all know this without a doubt, then of course every other matter is in the hands of Allah. Your provision, your protection, your victory. If you're certain that Allah gave you life, and you're absolutely certain that Allah is going to cause your death, what makes you doubt that your provision is also in His hand, and your protection in His hand, and victory and honor and all these matters is in His hand? For this is hasbi Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will bestow upon the heart of such a person immense tranquility and peace, despite his calamity. Anyone who says hasbi Allah from his heart, understanding its deep meaning that we've already explained, then Allah Azza wa Jal will bestow upon such a heart immense tranquility and peace. And this is the secret for why those that are afflicted with calamity but know hasbi Allah, that they rush to say Alhamdulillah and they seem peaceful. Sometimes you see people, a calamity surrounds his life, but he steeped his tongue and his heart, Alhamdulillah, and he's peaceful. When you're scratching your head, you're not understanding. Such as the situation that is present, current time, on the blessed land. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, you know, the entire world is shocked. How have these people, what are these type of words that they say? From Alhamdulillah, no problems, and they make little memes about them. And you're surprised. Because hasbi Allah has been perfected and it's come out with sincerity. So all this calmness and this peace that is coming out from their tongues is because of Allah Azza wa Jal's tranquility and peace descending upon them. And this is proven in the Quran. When Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown in the fire, what did he say? He said, hasbi Allah wa ni'ma al-wakeel. He said, Allah is sufficient for me. He is enough for me. And that's true, because the reality is he couldn't do anything. He couldn't even help himself. He ended up in the fire. See, he didn't scream out other words. He didn't try to look for a hose. All of these worldly means are not going to benefit you. There will come a time where every worldly means becomes useless. Nothing could be done. And it is at that time where if you scream out, hasbi Allah, you will immediately see the effect of hasbi Allah in your life. Just like Ibrahim saw it, and Allah Azza wa Jal made the fire cool and peaceful upon him. See, he's there, he's in the middle of his calamity, the fire's all around him. It's on top of his head, it's underneath his foot, it's left and right of him, but he's not burning. But he's still in the calamity, he's not out of it yet. I tell you, there are some people that are still in their calamity, but they just look peaceful. Bardan, be bardan. Allah says to the fire, be cool and peaceful. See, two things, and they're equally as important as each other. You might think, oh, bardan or salaman is all both the same thing. It's not. If it was bardan alone, he would have frozen to death. If it was salaman alone, he would have died peacefully and burnt. Bardan wa salaman, bardan cool, but not the type of coolness that freezes him to death. And so bardan wa salaman, he's walking in it like he's got a fire shield on him. Because why? He mastered hasbi Allah. So what I'm saying to you is that you say hasbi Allah, it doesn't mean that the calamity will go. But that tranquility will descend upon you from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you'll be able to manage. And the main thing is you won't lose your faith. You might lose whatever. You might have things attached to you in this worldly life. There might be wealth in your pocket that burns and goes away. There might be relationships that they'll end. But the main thing is the faith remains there, and that doesn't get attacked. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the companions, when they received the news, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. News went around Al-Madinah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the companions. People have gathered for you. The disbelievers have gathered. They're coming to come and attack you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Fear them. You have every reason to fear them. Go panic, worry, go. Develop your stress and anxiety and go. فَخْشَوْهُمْ. You imagine someone comes to you and says, the enemy is coming. Run. Panic. Call out. Scream. Run for help. You know what happened? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. How can that happen? How can the calamity be a cause for the iman to rise? That's the case. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman increased. وَقَالُوا. What did they rush to say? حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is enough for us. You want to instill within us fear and terror of an enemy that's coming? Allah is enough for us in context, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is enough protection for us. He will safeguard us, He'll protect us, and He will turn away the enemy. We don't know how. We'll just say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. After they said this, listen to what Allah said. What was the result? When they knew how to acknowledge that hasbi Allah, and I told you, when you say hasbi Allah, your love for Allah increases, you attach to Allah even more, you're pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal, you make tawakkul ala Allah Azza wa Jal, your dua increases, your heart is present, all this comes with hasbi Allah. The result is, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. The believers, they returned with a favor from Allah and bounty. A favor from Allah. What's the favor of Allah upon them? That their enemy weren't able to harm them. Wa ni'mah. Some ulama mentioned that al-ni'mah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going back to al-Madinah, he comes past the caravan. They purchased the caravan and it has many goods that it was distributed. Wealth, yani abundance. Lam yamsashum su, no harm afflicted them whatsoever. Wa taba'u ridwan Allah, and the believers followed. They pursued the path that pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning they adhered to His commandments, kept away from the prohibitions. Wallahu dhu fadlin azim. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I tell you, Allah, yani, that's the calamity coming. They said, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, and the blessings and the tranquility and the peace and the calmness descended upon all of them. How much are we in need of this calamity, especially in this day and age that we live in? Today, when distressful matters have accumulated upon one person, you find one person suffering financial stress or health related issues or children and related issues with that, and work and marriage and debts and families, relationships, and all these distressful matters accumulate and are put upon one person. So eventually, many people in society today, how do they behave? How do they react and respond? You find people resorting to pills. Mental illnesses. Diagnosed with mental illnesses. Hospitals. Some would like to ward off the stress with alcohol. They'll drink once a week or once a day, depending on how stressful the situation is. Smoking. Trying to release all this tension. Why? Because the calamities of life have become too much, we cannot do it anymore. And others resort to ending their life. And some people live like a dead person. How do you live like a dead person when your life has no more meaning, has no more purpose anymore, just going through from day to day? But as for the believer, he knows all his matters are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah is Al-Kafi. Anyone who knows Hasbi Allah in the morning 7 times and in the evening cannot end up being like those many people you see in society and how they deal with their calamities. And we have words of gold. We have Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illa huwa alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. And the peace and the tranquility begins to descend upon such a person. We didn't need any pills. We didn't need any of this stuff. Few words of a dhikr. Hasbi Allah is teaching you and I that in this calamity you're not alone. Allah is with you. That's what it teaches you. Because the vast majority, when they're in a calamity, they look and they reflect and they say, oh, I'm in this alone. There's no one with me. Right? And yeah, maybe the media can say words like, we're all in this together. But the reality is no one's in this together. Everyone's on his own. But the idea is Hasbi Allah. The believer always knows Allah is with him. No matter what the situation is, no matter who ran away from him, Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough. And we're repeating Hasbi Allah 7 times. SubhanAllah. And also from the positive effects of Hasbi Allah in the early morning, in the evening, the one who acknowledges that Allah is sufficient and enough for him, is that you will begin to develop good thought and good opinion about Allah Azza wa Jal, even in extreme situations and difficulties that you experience. Because that's another problem that we face. That's another problem troubling the youth. How do I keep thinking good of Allah Azza wa Jal despite what happens to me and these days globally? How do I keep good thought? Well, if you mastered Hasbi Allah and read it with deep understanding and a present heart, you will no doubt be able to develop good thought in Allah, just like the people of the cave. You know, the people of the cave, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned their story in the Quran for a reason. Yani these people, they were an example for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Because the Quran is being revealed unto Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran is a book of guidance, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes something of their guidance. See how important these people are? They mastered this thing of Hasbi Allah. They knew that Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient and enough for them. So when they abandoned their society and they ran away, because the king at the time, the king Theodosius at the time, he was a mushrik, and he wanted the people to come out to a celebration, celebrating the gods and worshipping the gods and the many different idols they had. So these young boys refused and they ran away from that society. And they were, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, they were the sons of princes. And they had يَلْبِسُونَ الْحِلَقَ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. They had earrings. Boys. But la ilaha illallah meant so much to them, we cannot abandon it. We'd rather leave the entire town and run away. So they ran away until they reached the cave. Allah says, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah says, when they ran away, they abandoned, they neglected their society. And everything that the society worshipped, they ran away. And they told each other, فَأُوْ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Let's run to the cave. Let's hide in the cave. What did they say first? When they got to the cave, look, they didn't say, well, who's going to feed us? Where are we going to get our food from? Maybe there's spiders and cockroaches out there. Someone's got mortine so we can spray the corners. No one is asking this stuff. When you're in a cave, the greatest need is, what's my food? What's my protection? Where am I going to sleep? What's the plan? How am I going to leave from here? How am I going to exit? How are we going to go back? We're the sons of princes. Where are we going to go? They entered the cave. The first thing they said to one another, إِيَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. They said, Allah is going to spread His mercy upon us. That's good thought in Allah. When you know Hasbi Allah, even in the most difficult situations, you can only think good of Allah. A bad thought of Allah can never exist in the heart and in the mind. And yanshur, you know, in Arabic they said that ra sukun al jazm. This is like jazm. And even in the Arabic, it's like a play on word. In Arabic, jazm means certainty. Yeah, it means sukun, but actually linguistically, jazm means certainty. سَيَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ meaning we're absolutely certain that Allah's mercy is not yanzil, it's not just going to descend, it's going to spread. يَنْشُرْ, it's going to spread. In every part of the cave. No one will be able to get to the mouth of it. And that's exactly what happened. Allah will put their dog over there. And anyone who went there saw the dog ran away. And the sunlight, if it came in and it went into the mouth of the cave, it will burn them. So Allah would bend the rays away from the cave. Like a miracle happening every morning when the sun rises. And then the skin needs some sunlight as well. So when it sets, تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ it loans them. It gives them some sunlight. The afternoon sun is less in its intensity, so the body will remain as it is. But then the body is there, and if it doesn't move, it'll develop blood sores. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ Allah Azza wa Jalla will send an angel that'll turn their bodies left and right. And if the eye was to remain shut, then the water would dry out, they'll become blind. So Allah Azza wa Jalla kept their eyes open. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ You'd expect them awake, but they were actually sleeping. All of this because they had good thought in Allah. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ Not only that, وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا And Allah will take this amr of yours, this difficult situation of yours, يَهَيِّئْ, He'll mold it, He'll make it flexible. وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا المرفق is a pillow. And the pillow suggests and implies comfort. Allah will take this difficult situation of yours and make it comfortable for you. And that's how the case was for the next 300 years. Good thought. Hasbi Allah trains the heart on good thought in Allah so that even if you are in a cave, in a dark cave, fearing every single scenario, you will never be able to think anything bad of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is exercise, this is training. This takes a lot of work. That's why it's important to read Azkar al-Sabah al-Masa. Imagine someone misses Azkar al-Sabah al-Masa altogether. Well, here he is. How does he live? I don't know. Well, how is he getting through the day and the night? I don't know. See, there is a lot more to life than getting through the day and through the night. There's a lot more to life than paying bill from one to another. The beauty of life, the sweetness of life is to have these meanings deep in your heart. The beauty of life is to face a difficult calamity and be so well trained in your relationship with Allah that even if you wanted to think something bad of Him, you cannot. That's the beauty of life. That's the purpose of life. That these worships are exercised in your life. Husnul dhan, tawakkul ala Allah, ad-du'a, loving Allah, attaching to Allah. I'm telling you, all of these all come from hasbi Allah. This is just the beginning of al-dhikr. All comes from hasbi Allah. Subhanallah. Now, so also you find that if we're certain that Allah Azza wa Jal is al-kafi, if we're certain that hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for us, then as we said, you'll blame yourself and never blame Allah Azza wa Jal. And you'll be certain that despite what you go through, Allah is still with you. That's another thing. Despite what you go through of calamity and hardship, the one that knows hasbi Allah correctly also knows that no matter what he goes through, Allah is still with him and he hasn't abandoned him. Yani it's not like you went through a calamity and a difficulty and that Allah Azza wa Jal moved away from you and that later on he'll come back to you and he'll grant you relief in that. No, not like that. Hasbi Allah is teaching you that even in this calamity and the darkest moment of it, that Allah was with you all along. Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for me in every second and moment of the life. He didn't move away and then came back. No. If anything, we're the ones that move away from Allah and then come back. Allah Azza wa Jalla is always there for the slave and for the servant. And the believer, later on after the calamity, will realize that the calamity was actually good for him. Perhaps this calamity saved you from a greater calamity that you would have harmed you on the day of judgment or in this life. You'll realize how many people months and years after the calamity, they say, Wallah, subhanAllah, you know, Allah decreed such and such, and look at the goodness that came out of it. Even now, if you reflect globally to our calamity and our situation, we will still have a lot to say Alhamdulillah for, and look how much goodness came out of that situation. There's always goodness. And think of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is a great example here. Yusuf alayhi salam is granted victory by Allah after all his calamities through a dream, a small dream. Yusuf alayhi salam lived alone. He was thrown in the well alone. The caravan's people took him and they sold him alone. He lived in the palace of Al-Aziz alone. He entered the prison alone. But when he was in the well alone, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ He's in the well alone, in this dark calamity, and Allah is sufficient for him and is with him in that calamity. Allah reveals to him, you're going to inform them of this matter later on. Allah Azza wa Jal comforting him at that time. When the wife of Al-Aziz accused him, and that's a big calamity as well, Allah will send a young boy that speaks the truth and says if his shirt was ripped from the front or shirt was ripped from the back. But that young boy there is Allah Azza wa Jal being with him. Allah's aid meaning, and Allah's protection and support being with Yusuf alayhi salam. See how hasbi Allah, see the positive effect of hasbi Allah in your life. When he was put in prison and years went by, people had forgotten about him. And ansahu ash-shaytanu dhikra rabbi, they forgot about him. Then all of a sudden a king somewhere far sees a dream of seven fat cows being consumed and eaten by seven skinny cows. And the dream continues, but the idea is that dream there was the reason for why he came out of prison and became noble and honored in the land, eventually reuniting with his family. What was the secret of all his success and victory? What was the secret of Allah's protection and aid and support with him all along this entire journey of calamity to calamity? The secret was at the end of the surah, when Yusuf alayhi salam, he himself talks and he says, أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You're my friend, you're my protector, you're my ally, you're my help, you're my support in this life and in the afterlife. That was his belief, his aqidah, his belief in his heart all along from day one. So you see how the relief of Allah Azza wa Jal is still in his calamity. But the relief of Allah is there with him along the way until finally there is victory and success and he reunites with his family. And that أنت وليي في الدنيا والآخرة, if you wanted to express it in other words, it's what? حسبي الله. It's حسبي الله. Subhanallah. That's the true effect of حسبي الله. And from the positive effects of حسبي الله, to believe that Allah is enough and sufficient for you, is the consistent need you will develop for sincere dua to Allah Azza wa Jal every moment of the day and the night. The one who has achieved hasbi Allah in his life, understood its deep meaning, it'll force you to turn to Allah through a dua every moment of the day and the night. It becomes a worship that you just cannot separate yourself from it. You know, just like a child that's sitting among his family, anything he needs, he's always turning to his father, to his mother, asking, give me this or give me that, and I also need this, and he's requesting, I need that, and we're going here. And it just doesn't give up. When the parent might become frustrated, stop asking. I'll give you once a week. I'll give you every 2 days. But the kid doesn't give up. Why? Because the kid can see this is, right now, in worldly terms, this is hasbi. These two are enough for me. So I need to always turn to them and ask, give me, give me. See, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ The highest example belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. But once you know that Allah hasbi, Allah Azza wa Jal is more to you than your own parents, He is enough and sufficient for you, then you will now, everything you want, you will begin to ask Him and turn to Him. Right? And this is why As-salat, which is the most noble deed in our deen, is all dua. All of it. From the beginning, Allahu Akbar, illa dua al-istiftah, start off. Then al-fatiha, illa dua, ihdina as-salat al-mustaqim. Then al-ruku' fi dua in al-ruku' Allahumma laka raka'tu wa bika amant khasha'a laka sam'i wa basari. Then you come back up. Then you go into sujood. Allah, a door of dua is open. Then you come, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli. Allah, another dua. Then you go again in your sujood and dua. Then you come back up. Then you make a tahiyat at the end of a tahiyat. Allah, this is a perfect opportunity for some more dua. And then you make taslim of your salat and you're finished. Seven positions in a salat where dua is found. So if Allah Azza wa Jal brought you to the most noble of positions, and from there He's telling you, make dua. And this is the believers, hasbi Allah. But you, because we don't connect it. We keep this, we disconnect things. Connect. That hasbi Allah, how is it being manifested in your life? Through your salat and your dua. The one who prays and is observant, focuses on his dua that he makes in a salat, has good proof that hasbi Allah is strong in his heart. The one who turns away from a dua and he has a weak relationship with a dua, then his hasbi Allah and acknowledgement of it is very weak. So that everything in our deen is tied, that's the beauty of it. Nothing is separate and alienated from one another. Allahu Akbar. Dua. That's why Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man istakfa kafahu Allah." Whoever asks sufficiency from Allah, Allah will be enough for him. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give him. Allah will be enough for him and fulfill his matters and his needs. In, of course, a matter that Allah decrees. Now, man istakfa Allah. See that? Man istakfa Allah. Meaning whoever asks Allah for sufficiency, for more, istakfa Allah. Then the result is kafahu Allah. Allah becomes sufficient for it. He gives him what he wants. We learn this in the story of who? Ghulam al-Ukhdud, the boy and the king. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an entire surah about this, Surah al-Buruj. The boy and the king. The boy that believed in Allah and the king that rejected Allah and had his own religion and he declared himself as God. Eventually the king commanded that his army take this young boy and kill him. So he sat there and take him to the top of the mountains and throw him from there and let him die like that. And also take him to the ocean because he wouldn't die there. Take him to the ocean, the depth of the ocean, and throw him there and let him drown. So this boy, when they took him to the top of the mountain, watch this. He did not say, "Oh Allah, shake the mountain from underneath them. Oh Allah, split the mountain and swallow them. Let the earth swallow them." He said, "Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at." He says, "Oh Allah, deal with them the way you want." لَأَنَّ اللَّهِ الْكَافِي. Allah, hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. So I'm not going to come and say, "Oh Allah, take them in this way and in this way. I don't know what way is better for Allah to deal with them. And I don't know. All I know is that Allah is enough for me. And I'll declare that. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. Allah, deal with them. Take care of them the way you wish and the way you want." You know what happens? The mountain shakes. You know, actually, a mountain shouldn't. In physics, a mountain doesn't shake. A mountain, actually, it stabilizes earthquakes and it reduces earthquakes in an area. But Allah Azza wa Jal will decree that that's the only way He'll get rid of them. So the mountain would shake and they would fall and he's saved. Allahu Akbar. When they took him to the ocean, also he said the same thing. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. Allah, deal with them the way you want, however you want. And so as well, large ocean waves come onto the boat and they're all thrown away from it and they drown. And Allah Azza wa Jal causes them to drown and they're destroyed. So you see, this young boy, he raised the matter to Allah. He said, "Allahumma kfinihim." How can you make this dua, "Allahumma kfinihim," if you're not solid and certain that hasbi Allah? If you're not certain that Allah is sufficient and enough for you, your heart will not feel at rest with this dua if you don't know hasbi Allah. But now when you know hasbi Allah, khalas, now it's very easy for you that if there's an enemy coming to you, or even if there's an evil plan being planned and plotted against you, now you know that you take a moment to say, "Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at," finished. Khalas, done. And so this is our collective dua as an ummah, for our brothers and sisters, and we say, Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'at, concerning our enemy. This is only on the tongue of the one who knows hasbi Allah. The one who doesn't know hasbi Allah won't even know what Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'at means. Now, subhanallah. And even, you know, there's the story of Ali radiallahu anhu. There was a slave, and he wanted to do a mukatabah. You know, al-mukatabah is a concept in Islam in where the slave wants to free his own self. So he needs to collect money, and he gives this money to his master, and the master frees him. Al-mukatabah is for the slave to agree with his master on a certain price that would free him. So the slave that came to Ali radiallahu anhu and said, Ya Ali, finally have I agreed with my master on a certain amount. Help me. Help me collect this amount so I can free myself. So Ali radiallahu anhu said to him, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ عَلَّمَنِيهِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Shall I not teach you words that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me? لَوْ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ مِثْلُ جَبَلِ صِرٍّ دَيْنًا أَدَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ That even if you had a debt the size of a mountain on you, Allah Azza wa Jal will help you pay this debt off. Of course, teach me, what is this dua? He taught him, he said to him, say, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik, waghnini bifadlika amman siwak. Allahumma kfini. See, ikfini? Here, the same thing that the whole lecture is on about. Hasbi Allah wa kafana Allah. Meaning, oh Allah, ikfini bihalalika an haramik. Make me content with the halal. And provide me with halal provision so that I am never tempted to go near al-haram. Ikfini, suffice me. Make the halal enough for me and I'm pleased with it. You see, suffice me with al-halal because you're hasbi. Because you are the one that is sufficient and enough for me. So ikfini bihalalika an haramik. وَغْنِنِي بِفَضْلِكَ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ And enrich me by your favors so that I am not in need of anyone at all. And what we learn from this hadith is that even if you're in an intense calamity, never ever resort to al-haram. Never, rather, ask Allah to keep you from al-haram. As in this dua. You know, some people, when they're like in serious trouble or in real calamity, shaitan fools and tricks them. Tells them of some sort of fatwa that it is halal to go and consume haram wealth, just so you can get yourself out of this situation. That's what the shaitan says. And from the other end, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you that if your calamity is so intense that you had a mountain of debt on your shoulder, the first thing you do is ask Allah to save you from al-haram. You see? Learn and change the perspective. Now, so hasbi Allah. Hasbi Allah. Allahu Akbar. And from the stories as well, brothers and sisters in Islam, that shakes the heart and gives us the true definition, understanding of Hasbi Allah is the story of Musa alayhi salam. You know, when Musa alayhi salam was a baby, he was breastfeeding, right? And Allah Azza wa Jal reminds Musa alayhi salam at a point in his life when he was on the mountain and Allah had commanded him to go to Fir'aun. And Musa alayhi salam is worried, he's scared, he's terrified, he's afraid. He says to Allah, إِنِّي أَخَافْ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ I fear that if I go to Fir'aun, he will kill me. I fear that they might reject the message. He fears a lot now. And this is when, after he's reached old age and he has matured. So Allah Azza wa Jal on the mountain, he says to him, reminds him about the days when he was a baby. You were a baby. Then, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ أَنِ اِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ That we revealed to your mother, put your baby, this baby Musa, put him in a wooden basket. Put him in a basket. فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمَّ And put the basket in the river. The basket has no GPS and has no tracking system. It has nothing at all. It's going to move along the stream. فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ It's moving along with the stream, along with this wind. And it would reach يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ And an enemy of mine and an enemy of his will grab him. And that's Fir'aun. Allah is reminding Musa alayhi salam about this entire scenario when he was a baby, he can't even remember. Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding him of this story When now Musa alayhi salam has grown up, over the age of 40, Allah is talking to him, he's commanding him, go to Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam is worried, he says, I'm scared. So Allah reminds him of the favor that he bestowed upon him when he was young. In other words, Allah is saying to him, I protected you. I protected you from that enemy. When you were young, when you cannot even remember, I was your hasib. I was your kafi. I was sufficient for you at that time. I was enough for you then. Protected and defended you and moved all harm from your way. Now, you're complaining of a concern. And that strengthened Musa alayhi salam. He took the message and he went. See, what do we learn from this? That even prophets of Allah, the most noble of them, must be reminded of the fact that Allah al-Hasib and that Allah is al-Kafi. Prophets were reminded of this matter. Prophets are reminded that Allah protected you all along. So keep going out in your worldly duties and your day-to-day duties. Face whatever it is you face on earth and remember that the Lord that took care of you all these years will continue to take care of you until the day He decrees to take you back to Him. That's what we learn from this, on this moving story of Musa alayhi salam. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, I share with you one more hadith and then we're going to stop there. This is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and it's our final discussion with Hasbi Allah. He said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَيْفَ أَنْعَمُوا وَصَاحِبُ الْقَرْنِ قَدْ الْتَقَمَ الْقَرْنَ وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ وَحَنَى جَبْهَتَهُ يَنْظُرُ مَتَى يُؤْمَرْ يَنْفُخ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كَيْفَ أَنْعَمُ. How can I enjoy this life? How can I relax and enjoy this life and take it easy when I definitely know that صاحب القرن, the angel that is responsible to blowing the trumpet, right now his lips are on the trumpet itself. وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ, and he's paying careful and extra attention. وَحَنَى جَبْهَتَهُ, and his neck is slanting down towards the earth in humility. يَنْظُرُ مَتَى يُؤْمَرُ بِنَفْخِهِ, he is waiting to hear when he is commanded to blow the horn. That's the situation right now with that angel that will blow the horn. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeing how can I an'am? How can I feel at rest and enjoy this worldly life when that's the situation? So the situation became very difficult and rigid upon the companions. Companions, their hearts were alive. They were connected with Allah Azza wa Jal. When they heard something like this, it shook them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to awaken our hearts. But their response was completely different to our response. It was very difficult for them to hear something like that. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, كيف نقول? Ya Rasulullah, what do we do? What should we say? Can we do anything that will ease up the situation for us? He says to them, قولوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل على الله توكلنا. He says to them, say حسبنا الله, sufficient and enough is Allah Azza wa Jal for us. In context, يعني, oh Allah, save us and protect us from the horrors and the glooms of that day. Save us, حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. And you're the best to be for us to be relying upon. على الله توكلنا. Upon Allah only we rely. And that is something, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that I wanted to share with you about Hasbi Allah, بإذن الله تعالى. In our next lesson, we'll continue with this dhikr in its second part. لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. وبإذن الله, we'll be able to complete it within the next lesson. والله أعلم, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.